This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talking some college football here. Just went around the SEC. That'll be up in the podcast in just a little bit. Let's welcome in Carter Bryant at Carter the Power, host of the Carter Bryant Show on 107.1 FM, The Fan in South Arkansas, 1400 AM also, and a comedian. Carter, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Seth? I know we're talking college football, but as you know, I'm a big-time Saints fan, and I'm still in disbelief that in front of millions of people, our dear beloved Drew Brees was handed something of less value and dignity than a Waffle House menu. So I deeply appreciate the NFL for showing some serious respect to one of its best players and ambassadors. So I wasn't angry about that at all.
Are you talking about that flimsy piece of Little League laminated, I don't know what that was, certificate they handed him?
Yeah, that was the most embarrassing thing. And, you know, I was like so happy. I'm like a little kid when it comes to Drew Brees. And I was just so happy that that moment happened. And then when they handed him that, I just can't think of one moment that has ever been diluted by anything like that. I can imagine game six, 1998, Michael Jordan hits the big shot, and here comes David Stern. Here you go, Michael Jordan. Here is a yo-yo for your efforts. I mean, that's basically what we saw. I mean, I'm still blown away. But anyway, college football, go on ahead.
Yeah, it was comedy all around, and the clowns on the NFL Network is another story we've been talking about for the last couple of days here. You know, Carter, I wrote a nice little tidy 1,652 words, I guess, earlier today on this ridiculous SEC scheduling system. I know you've been talking about it long before I was. You've been on this train for years now. How bad is the SEC football schedule, man?
Well, let's start with a guy that used to hammer this point home, and his name is Les Miles. And people forget about Les. He was a big, vocal guy that came out against this. And for those that don't know, it's simple. The SEC has the worst, and I mean it, and I really do mean it. It is the worst, craziest, nonsensical scheduling format we have ever seen in sports. You have 14 teams. You have more teams than any other conference. Yet you play one fewer conference game compared to everyone else. That doesn't make any sense. And then on top of that, you play every team in your own division. You have seven teams in each division. Only play each team once. So that's six teams. So that leaves you with only two other conference games. And guess what? Of the other seven teams in the other division that's not your own, you play one of those every year. And then the other team is on a six-team rotating schedule. So for those that are out there listening, if you sign up, let's say your son goes to play football at Arkansas, outside of Missouri, there's going to be one school in the SEC East that you will not play. Same goes for LSU. You play Florida every year. There's going to be one school, if you're a five-year player even, that you will not play unless you're in the championship game. That makes no sense. And especially for LSU, that has been a program that has been great for a long time, over a decade. The Florida Gators have been great outside of a few years for over a decade. These two have unfairly had to play each other every year, while Alabama gets to play Tennessee, which hasn't been good for a long time every year. It's unfair. It's unfair. And it's not just Alabama. It's all the other teams as well.
Yeah, it's just absolutely absurd. And you know what? I know Alabama's benefiting from this because Tennessee's been terrible, but you can't blame Alabama. They're the only school on record right now, Carter, that says let's go to a nine-game schedule. They're the only ones. Yep. Coach Saban is the only one.
The only one a few years ago. In fact, they had a vote I think it was 3 years ago at SEC League meetings, and I kid you not, it went 13-1 in favor of keeping the schedule the way it was. And the thing is about that, if you're an SEC coach, you want to leave it an 8-game schedule because it makes it easier to get to 6 wins. You could schedule an extra cupcake. That's one less conference game. And also, what Greg Sankey's been saying in every press conference, why should we change something when we've been in the playoffs every single year? Heck, we even got 2 teams in the playoffs last year. So guess what? He ain't going to change it unless you do something about it. So in one way or another, you need to move the conference schedule to a 9-game conference schedule like all the other Power 5 schools. The SEC phrase, it just means more. Well, if it means more, why don't you give us more? And then on top of that, you need to get rid of the permanent cross-division rival. I think we can live just fine with that LSU playing Florida every year and Alabama playing Tennessee. Trust me, I like LSU playing Florida every year. It's a great competitive football game. And I understand the tradition for Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, Georgia. That doesn't make it fair, and it doesn't make it right.
Carter Bryant's here on The Last Lap, at Carter the Power on Twitter. He's a comedian, also covers the SEC and has a radio show, 107.1 FM and 1400 AM in South Arkansas. And I believe that the rest of the country who just – they're terrible with their SEC takes a lot of the time. But, Carter, I kind of feel like they're catching on to this ruse that is, like you just said, the 8-game schedule so you can pad those non-conference wins like Alabama does with the Citadel and a couple directional schools and a terrible Louisville team. And I'm not just trying to blast Alabama here because, again, they're the only ones on the record saying change it. But – I think the rest of the country and even the selection committee is slowly catching on to this ruse here.
And guess what? We don't fully know if they are or not because, I mean, Alabama did get the benefit of the doubt over Ohio State last year. And, you know, it's one of those things, like you look at Louisville. When Alabama scheduled Louisville, they were obviously a heck of a lot better team than what they are now. So I defend Alabama. I mean, they play tough non-conference games, but they always play them first game of the year. Nick Saban trusts all that time to prepare, to get ready for that non-conference game, and it's always a neutral sider. He knows Alabama fans are going to travel well. So it's one of those things where, you know, it always seems like you're just singling out Alabama, but it's the entire conference. It's not really even an LSU bias thing. And guess what? The best thing about this, Seth, is that the consumer wins. We get more SEC football. We get more competitive games. That's great. That's a great thing.
And, Carter, think about Jimbo. I said this today. You don't think Jimbo and part of his decision to spurn LSU when he was asked to go to Texas A&M, he didn't see the schedule and say, okay, A&M, I got to face the behemoth that is South Carolina every year. LSU, you got that bloodbath against Florida every year. You can't convince me that didn't play into his decision.
It did. I mean, scheduling plays into everything, especially in college football, where a loss means more than anything. And trust me, LSU, I mean, imagine if they were playing Vanderbilt instead of Florida last week, they'd probably win. And there wouldn't be all this pressure on this one Georgia game. If LSU loses this Georgia game, guess what? They're out of the playoff hunt altogether that quickly, 2 weeks in a row, because LSU's schedule was doomed from the get-go. We didn't expect them to win against Auburn and Miami. I don't think many people had LSU winning both of those games. And playing the schedule that LSU plays, with Florida being the permanent cross-division rival, and drawing Georgia. Now, to further our point on what we've been talking about, here's the thing about Georgia. Georgia won't be in Tiger Stadium until 12 years from now. Think that.
No, it's
think
12, incredible.
12, the same. The same conference 12 years from now.
I have a few gray hairs, Carter. I'm gonna be fully gray by the time they come back. Hold that thought. We got a little 60-second break here, and then I want to get your full thoughts on this Georgia game coming up. Complete absurdity. Talking a little SEC and LSU with Carter Bryant, host of the Carter Bryant Show on 107.1 FM in South Arkansas, at Carter the Power. He's also a comedian. Check his Twitter for some Drew Brees awesomeness coming very soon. Carter, LSU against Georgia here, and it's been a very long time, very, very long time since LSU was this big of home dogs against a non-Alabama team, and here they are, 7.5-point underdogs at home. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair for LSU being the underdog. I'd actually have it a little bit lower. I think it's going to be a close game. The question that LSU fans want to be answered, how much of a chance do you give LSU to win this game? And I give them about a 35 to 40% chance. I mean, Georgia's a complete football team. They work in different aspects of their offense. They're really good with the play action. And you look at all the talent that Georgia lost defensively. They lost Thompson up the middle, Lorenzo Carter off the edge, Roquan Smith, either him or Devin White last year, the best linebacker in the SEC. And then offensively, obviously they lost a big running back tandem from last year, and they really haven't missed a beat. Now, this is their toughest game of the year coming up, so we'll see how they go. We'll see how things go then. It's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. I think LSU, for the most part, matches up well with them. I think their receivers can make plays down the field against the defensive backs. And also got to keep this in mind. LSU's offensive tackle play, which was abysmal against Florida, will be a lot better. Guess what? Georgia doesn't have the same level of edge pressure as they did last year. I think LSU's offensive line will play better. They were not that great, especially in bad pass rushing situations against Florida. I think that improves, and I think because of that, it's going to be a close game.
Sounds like you're still picking Georgia, though, huh, Carter?
Yeah, I give Georgia a slight edge just because they have an advantage, I think, pretty much everywhere on the field. I don't know a position group, maybe outside of receiver, that I like better. I give LSU secondary a little bit of an edge, but we'll see. I mean, it's hostile. I mean, Tiger Stadium's going to be rocking. I do think this. I do think LSU, albeit they didn't play unbelievable against Florida, the box score was actually dead even. Total yards, Florida was only about a 20-yard advantage. Time of possession was pretty rock solid even. Turnovers was even until the final minute of the game when LSU was trying to tie it. I mean, a bad call here, a bad call there, maybe Ed Orgeron being a little bit more aggressive on fourth down. LSU possibly wins that football game last week in the Swamp. So I don't think it's throw everything out for the season. I think LSU has a chance to win this game. I give Georgia a slight edge in this one. I think I see about a 31-24 game in favor of the Dogs.
There we go. Carter Bryant, it's on the record. Save the tape, Logan. Save the tape. Carter, it's always fun, man. Oh, by the way, I got to ask you, have you seen A Star Is Born yet?
No, I did not. I will have seen it by next week. It's been busy. We were going to go tonight, but shameless plug, I'm dropping a Drew Brees skit tomorrow on the Twitter.com. Make sure you follow me there. And Seth, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll talk. I want a full Stars Born report. I'm going to see it for the third time tomorrow morning.
Whoa, okay, man.
Yeah, well, I'm all in. All right, Carter Bryant at Carter the Power. Check that Twitter for his Drew Brees drop tomorrow. Thanks, Carter. We'll take a break here. Coming back with Zach Strief. And not Zach Strief, sorry. It's Bobby Hebert and Drew Brees. A little QB to QB. Coming back, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.